This is Jaguars Postgame, presented by Baptist Health System, GEICO, Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, and by EverBank. Stand by for highlights and the best analysis of today's Jaguars game. We go back to the broadcast booth. Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, well, a promising beginning ends in disappointment for the Jaguars, who fall to 0-5 with a 34-20 loss to the St. Louis Rams. Blaine Gabbert early on found Justin Blackmon. Boy, does he make a difference for their offense, Tony.
Oh, he's a tremendous player, and he had a very good game. I mean, I give him a ton of credit. He made mistakes, and obviously he had the suspension, paid the price, paid the penalty. But he handled himself the right way. Yeah. He was a pro. He came back in better shape. He looks great. Man, he looks faster and quicker. And
5 catches, 136 yards.
And he's
today.
Only going to get better. Him and Chad Henne or Blaine Gabbert, whoever it's going to be, get on the same page. So that was a real positive.
Cecil Shorts has 5 for 74 and a touchdown. The two combined for 10 for 210 yards and 2 scores. That's very, very promising. The problem is right now, as we see it, well, there's a couple of different problems, folks, at 0-5. I guess there's a lot of different problems. First of all, you don't know the status of Luke Jokel, though it doesn't look good. I mean, you would imagine that he's going to be gone for an extended period of time, unless it's a miracle and the x-rays are negative on that ankle.
Well, the only thing I'll say, and we don't know what it is, but if it could possibly be a, you know, let's say it's a high ankle sprain, where you're out, a severe one, where you're out 4 to 6 weeks, they could put him on that short-term IR and not eat up a roster spot and still have him back for the end of the year. I mean, I remember a game in 97. I had a high ankle sprain, and I swear when it happened.
Cincinnati, I remember it.
No, it was actually Tennessee. It was Tennessee.
Okay.
I swear when it happened, I thought I broke my leg in half. I mean, I thought it was shattered, over, rolled on, and it was awful. And it was a high. I missed 3 weeks and came back and played the fourth week. And so we don't know what it is. It might be broken. We don't know. I mean, we haven't heard about the x-rays. It could be any number of things. I'm glad it's an ankle and not a knee. And hopefully he can be back within the next, you know, a period of time where he can come back and play games this season. That's our hope. We'll wait and see, and all Jaguar fans need to just stay tuned and we'll update you as soon as we hear.
All right, so there's one major issue. Cam Bradfield did play pretty well. I mean, we didn't call Robert Quinn's name a whole lot. He caught his pressure now.
Yeah, but overall, I thought him and Pazdor, I mean, was Chris Long a factor?
Well, I mean, not in terms of sacks, yeah, but I mean, they pushed the pocket and created some situations where the quarterback had to throw the ball.
Nothing where it was
they weren't dominant. It wasn't one of those Dwight Freeney, you know, performances where you go, whoa.
It wasn't one of those games as an offensive line, and I've been in them. I've been on the offensive line where it's Katie bar the door, here they come, and the quarterback is running for his life the entire day. That was not the situation at all. I give those guys credit. I give George Arnold credit. I mean, that unit, and George, their offensive line coach, has caught a lot of heat, and coming in with two guys that were backups a week ago and having to play the majority of the game, they ran the ball much better. So let's give them a little bit of credit. I mean, was it perfect? No, but George Arnold has been doing a good job, the offensive line coach, of working with that unit and getting them and continuing to get better, and to have those two young tackles step in and perform the way they did, that was a positive.
And at one point, the Jaguars were over 100 yards rushing for the first time this season. And a lot of it, there was a fallback there on the last drive by the Jaguars where Maurice dropped to 6 yards. I think they finished with 96, but they were running it behind Pazdor on the right side in particular.
Well, Pazdor is a big physical guy now. I mean, he's not a small human being. He's tough, and he'll fight you. The weakness of his game would be pass blocking, but I thought he did okay. I didn't see anything bad out there at all. And you know me, Brian. I said when
no, absolutely. With tackles, you.
I said from the beginning, you know, I was thinking it was going to be Luke Jokel on the left tackle. He got hurt. But I said, I think Austin Pazdor will bring something to this offensive line that will be a positive. And I'll watch the tape tomorrow and maybe a little bit on the plane ride home tonight, and we'll see what it looks like. But from just viewing it from this distance and as we watch it live, I thought those two guys did okay.
All right, let's give you a look at the numbers. The Jaguars finished with a season-high 363 yards of offense, 267 from the passing game, 96 on the ground. The problem was they had a couple of critical penalties. They were ineffective in the red zone, just one touchdown in 3 trips down there. They lost a couple of fumbles and threw a couple of interceptions. and finished minus three on the day. You're just not
going to
win.
They're right there's the story. So the final score is 34-20. Pick six.
Yep.
That's seven. Fumble on the 16th.
By Clay
that's
Harbor.
14. There is the difference in the ball game.
Blaine Gabbert finished 9 of 19 for 181 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions, one in the end zone on the first drive of the third quarter for the Jaguars. Passer rating 59.2. He left in the third quarter, replaced by Chad Henne. Henne comes in 7 of 13 for 89 and a score, passer rating of 101. The leading receiver today, Justin Blackmon and Cecil Shorts, each had five catches. Blackmon finished with 136 yards. He had a 67 and a 39-yard completion, and the 67 went for his touchdown. Shorts, 5 of 74 for a touchdown. Clay Harbor had 3 for 39. Maurice, 2 for 16. The leading rusher for the Jaguars, Maurice Jones-Drew, best day of the season, 17 for 70, 4.1 per carry. Todman had 3 for 16. The Jaguars rushed for 96. Now for the Rams, they have 351 yards of offense on 72 offensive plays, 13 more plays, and about 10 and a half minutes more time of possession for them today. They run for 143. That was the
right
worst
there.
Rushing offense in the league.
That is the biggest. That's what bothers me about this game more. The turnovers, those mistakes, and the fact that they rushed for that many yards.
You know, and when we look at the rushing numbers, Zach Stacy's first NFL start, 14 for 78, 5.6 per carry. Richardson, 13 of 48, 3.7 per carry. Here's the part about it. You would think with a young secondary, the one thing the Jaguars would be able to do is stop the run. That would be one thing they would be able to do with those big guys in the middle and Paul Posluszny, and yet they couldn't get it done today. Bradford finishes looking great. 19 of 34, 222, three touchdowns, 105.3 passer rating. His leading receiver was Austin Pettis, 4 for 49 and two scores. Quick had 2 for 45. Lance Kendricks had 4 for 37 and one touchdown. But the big story here today for the Jaguars, pick six, turnovers. How about Leroy Reynolds with a penalty for a block in the back on an 87-yard punt return touchdown by Ace Sanders? I mean, that is a huge penalty, and it's the kind of penalty that has been symbolic of everything that's gone wrong with this football team this year.
Yeah, just mistakes. I mean, and we're going to sound like a little bit of like a broken record. Very paper-thin margin of error, and when you turn the ball over three times, you learn that lose that battle, and you have penalties at key times. It's hard to win. It's hard to win in this league. And when you're young and rebuilding and you got a bunch of guys that you're changing the culture and you're making a bunch of changes and you're not as maybe as talented as some of the teams you're playing in all the different areas, you can't make those kind of mistakes.
Well, and the hard part is this was a winnable game for the Jaguars. They came against a Rams team that, you know, the Rams have a little bit more talent on the defensive side in terms of their pass rush, and they've got a little more veteran presence in their secondary, but you felt like, all right, this is one you can go get because you've got Denver, San Diego, San Francisco, Tennessee before you get an Arizona team that comes into St. Louis, you know, 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. I mean, it's every week you go out and you compete to win, but they have a deck stacked against them up here right now, and this was one of those ones you hated to see get away, especially when you get out to a 7-0 lead. Then you get the ball back at the 42-yard line.
It was frustrating all the way around. Because I'm with you. There were opportunities. This was a chance for this team, I believe, to win this ball game. And the same story, and I know it drives Gus Bradley crazy because he talks about it. It's all about the ball. And right now, minus seven on the year.
Minus seven.
And
which you just can't afford to be.
Three pick sixes, as you've talked about. And a chance today where that is literally the difference in this ball game.
I hate to go back to last season and count it back, but it's been 10 regular season losses in a row now. And for a lot of the guys on this roster, it doesn't necessarily equate because the roster has turned over by 50%. But still, you got a bunch of guys in there. You know, you think about the Brad Meesters and the Uche Wanneris of the world who have been through loss after loss after loss. I mean, you'd like to see them get something that would break through that fog of losing. Just any little spark that would give them something.
No, yeah. It starts going the wrong way, and you get in situations where you start stringing some losses together. You need something good to happen, and it's amazing just if you could get the ball to bounce your way or to make some plays and to find a way to scratch out a win, it changes everything. It changes the taste in your mouth. It changes the atmosphere. It changes practice and everything else. So they're still looking for that.
All right. Well, let's go downstairs and hear from head coach Gus Bradley, who's standing by with Jeff Loggeman. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, Brian. Gus, obviously the game certainly changed quite a bit there when Luke Jokel was taken off the field. Got an update on his status.
Yeah, we do. Luke's got a high ankle fracture. So, you know, he'll be out for the season. So that's a tough deal for Luke. I know some of the players were gathering around him. We're looking for him, I should say. But, you know, he's a tough kid. He'll bounce back from it. We just lose him for the season, though.
Offensively, turning the ball over, just can't do it. I mean, against good teams, against bad teams, doesn't matter. You guys were minus three today.
Yeah, that's the big telling story, I think, was the takeaways and the turnovers on our side. You know, we had, three turnovers, and then we had a couple other fumbles that we got back. And, you know, we just have to have better ball security. We got to make better decisions, play smart as a team, and then, you know, take care of the ball.
Offensively, when Chad Henne came in for an injured Blaine Gabbert, put together a pretty nice offensive drives where you guys were able to run the ball on the ground, have success, put a touchdown on the board, close to a one-score game, and then defensively you couldn't hold them. That drive probably was disappointing for you.
Yeah, it was. You know what? Defensively, though, as a whole, I know at the end it appeared that we got tired, and, you know, they picked up some yards. But the third down conversions early in the game, where we were at halftime, you know, they scored on an interception for a touchdown. I thought the defense came out to play and, you know, played hard throughout. And just at the end, when that many plays, you know, they get a little worn down, and we got to fight through that. Offensively, there was a little bit of a spark. But when Blaine started, there was a spark, too. There was a big play to Justin Blackman. So it's the consistency. You know, we ran the ball better today, and, you know, that was a good sign. Mojo got going, and, you know, a couple of those young tackles that were in there who had to jump in when Luke went out, you know, I think we gave up about two sacks. So, you know, we'll find improvement, we'll find areas, and we'll find a way to exceed expectations.
Last question, Blaine Gabbert left the game. Any update on his status?
Yeah, he pulled his hamstring. He had a hamstring strain, so he was wrapped up during the game and couldn't go anymore, and that's why we made the substitution with Chad.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
All right, there you hear it. The bad news.
Ah, stinks.
Luke Jokel done for the year, which means that the beleaguered Jaguars now go on the road to Denver without their first-round pick and a guy they'll build around. Luckily, it's a break and not a knee.
Yeah, absolutely. But when he said high ankle, I was hoping the next word was going to say sprain, and
fracture.
He said the fracture. That's a bummer.
All right, we'll come back with more Jaguars postgame from the Edward Jones Dome and the HennityAutos.com studios after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to the Edward Jones Dome for more of our Jaguars postgame show. By the way, you heard the Baptist injury update with head coach Gus Bradley, letting us know that Luke Jokel is done for the season with what he termed a high ankle fracture. Let's go downstairs and check in with Jeff Loggeman, who has our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP, Justin Blackman. Five catches, 136 yards for him today, better than 27 yards per catch average, had a 67-yard touchdown and another 39-yard catch. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, Brian. Justin, first game action out there. Obviously, your numbers very impressive. How'd it feel?
Yeah, I feel good. You know, it's just good to be back here with the team, be out there and be able to go out there and play.
How frustrating is it to get back and play and, you know, you're an opportunity on the road for a team? Offense seems to be playing its best game of the year, and you guys can't come out on the positive side.
Oh, it's very frustrating. You know, we're here to compete, and we're here to win. And, you know, I don't think it doesn't frustrate anybody in this locker room. You know, we all take it, you know, very, very serious, and we, you know, we're out here to win, and that's what we're supposed to do.
You guys are going to lose Luke Jokel for the year. Left tackle. Eugene Monroe's traded this past week. What does that do to this football team?
I mean, it hurts us, but we know the next person's up, and it's an opportunity for somebody else to step in and, you know, really get a chance to go out there and make plays.
This is the first time, basically this week, that you, Ace, and Cecil have been on the field together. I mean, how did it feel to have all three of the amigos together?
It felt real good. You know, we worked hard together this summer, this off season, and really worked on a lot of things and got better together. So it was real good to go out there and, you know, have some success with all three of us out there.
All right, thank you, Justin.
Thank you.
All right, that's Justin Blackman, our Bueller Swiss Watch MVP, and Jeff handed him a brand new Bueller Swiss. You can grab yours at Allen's Jewelers in Jacksonville, Park Jewelers in Lake Mary, Tallahassee Diamond Center in Tallahassee, Cranford Jewelry in Moultrie, Georgia, and Hope Jewelers in Jacksonville. Jaguars football on Jaguars Radio is brought to you by Crown Royal Maple, whiskey started, maple finished. All right. Time for our Bud Light play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light. And we'll go back to the Jaguars' second series. First series, three and out. Second series, though, Blaine Gabbert went looking for Justin Blackman, who got back into live action for the first time this season.
Gabbert's got Blackman to the 50-yard line, makes a move to the inside. There he goes to the 40. He's on the run to the 30. There goes Blackman to the 20, making a move to the 10. 5, touchdown, Justin Blackman.
67 yards. He'd had a 39-yarder in the third quarter in the Jaguars. Got 136 yards on 5 catches from Justin Blackman, combined with Cecil Short's 5-catch, 74-yard, 1-touchdown day. They got 10 catches for 203 yards from the duo that they hope becomes their next Thunder and Lightning, their next Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardo group, plus 2 touchdowns on that. That's our Bud Light play of the game, brought to you by Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. A lot of people to thank for our broadcast from St. Louis. Brent Martineau on the Jaguars sideline. He was busy updating us on the injuries, and especially the injury to Luke Jokel. And that's probably the story of the ball game coming out of St. Louis, besides the 0-5 start. Scott Kushner is our on-site engineer. The best producer in the National Football League is Joe Fortunato. So for Jeff Loggeman and Tony Buscelli and John Dineen from Atlantic Beach, our road spotter, appreciate having him on board as well. We'll say goodnight from St. Louis. Final score for the final time, 34-20, Rams win. And the postgame show continues after this quick timeout on the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
Jaguars postgame rolls along from the HananiaAutos.com studio at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. The unhappy final at the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis. The Rams over the Jaguars 34-20. J.P. Shadrick with you. Marco Coleman alongside. Well, this thing started out okay, Marco, and then went downhill in a hurry. They kind of hung in there, got within 7 late, and you thought, hey, this is the day. You might have a chance. Just couldn't find a way through today.
Yeah, he needed the defense to make a play at that time and really just stand up against the running. You know, you figure all game long that was a little bit of a problem, and when they needed the most, they just couldn't bring him down in the big plays. It continued to be a problem, allowing a big pass play at a real crucial time.
34-20, the final score. Let's get into the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game. Jags lost 34-20, Marco, but where do they get better today?
Well, you know, the addition of Blackman, you know, offensively. All of a sudden, some big plays came about. You know, he brings some physicality to the offensive, to the receiving core, and just helped them move the ball. You know, he had a 39-yard play. Had a 67-yard play. The big play was missing from the offense, and they got that today by adding him, and I think you'll see that continue on forward. And also relieving a little pressure off the other guys. I think you saw Shorts. I think he played a little bit better game because now he didn't have to do as many things as he normally does, you know, trying to overcompensate for Blackman being there. His impact was pretty major today for the offense.
Number two, did the Jaguars go backwards in any areas?
Well, I'll say they pretty much did not improve, and that's in that turnover area. You know, you figure coming into the game, -4, then 3 more turnovers, 2 of them led to scores. That's something that's got to get better. You know, and I think with some more consistency at the quarterback position specifically would definitely help.
Finally, you heard the news exclusively here on the Gus Bradley postgame interview with Jeff Loggeman. Luke Jokel is out for the season with a high ankle fracture. How does this team recover from that type of blow on a week like this?
Well, you know, I think the guys on the interior offensive line have got to step up, and that'll make a big difference for those guys on the outside. Today, those guys did not have an issue. I think they held up good against two really good outside pass rushers, Bradfield and Pastore. I think they both did well. It's that interior offensive line that's got to do some things to not put so much pressure on those guys. You want to be able to run the ball, and it's because of the penetration up the middle that was allowed that they couldn't get a running game going. And I think the more they can run the ball, that's what's going to help those guys on the outside.
Those are the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game. Just, boy, what a week. The trade Eugene Monroe away, the franchise left tackle to Baltimore to make room for Jokel to go to left side, and then this happens.
Yeah, it's tough that he got injured. I hate to hear that. But, I mean, but if you look at what's going on with the team, you know, with Monroe leaving, it's not a big deal. You know, you got to look at the overall plan that I'm sure that Caldwell and, you know, the entire executive staff have come together. They put together a plan, and they drafted him in the second pick to be a left tackle. And they just got an opportunity, I believe, to just go ahead and get that process moving, get him adjusted at a left tackle, get him almost a full season to be even better next season. It's unfortunate, though, for him to get hurt and, you know, taking him out of the lineup. That's tough.
We'll be back in just a moment. Jaguars postgame rolls along. We'll listen to the Metro PCS Sexton summary. The highlights from this one. Final score in St. Louis today. The Rams over the Jaguars 34-20. Jags fall to 0-5 for the first time in franchise history. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, UL Knowledge Services, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
Final score from the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis, Missouri. The Rams 34 and the Jaguars 20. The Jags fall to 0-5 for the first time in franchise history. They're the first team in the NFL to lose the first five games by 10 or more points since the 1986 Colts. That was the last time that's happened. Tough loss today for the Jags in a number of different ways. Certainly on the scoreboard, certainly on the injury report too. Luke Jokel is done for the year. If you've just joined us, Gus Bradley broke it to Jeff Lagerman in the post-game locker room right here on Jaguars Radio. Let's get into the Metro PCS Sexton summary for today's game in St. Louis. The Jaguars started strong today. That was a three and out. First drive, St. Louis had a three and out. A punt return from Ace Sanders all the way to the house, called back because of an illegal block. The Jaguars would drive down anyway. Wouldn't take long. Four plays. Gabbert to a guy named Justin Blackman, who hasn't been around. He's back this week.
It's the matchup of Tremaine Johnson.
Gabbert's got Blackman at the 50-yard line. Makes a move to the inside. There he goes to the 40. He's on the run to the 30. There goes Blackman to the 20, making a move to the 10. Five. Touchdown. Justin Blackman. Justin Blackman just went 67 yards, and the Jaguars are on the board.
7-0 after the extra point from Scobie. The Rams had struggles on offense early all day. Six plays and a punt. The Jags got it back, went three and out. St. Louis three and out. But then the Jaguars had the ball. Luke Jokel goes down with the ankle injury. We found out after the game it's a high ankle fracture. He's done for the year. The play after, though, Blaine Gabbert throws high over the middle. Giordano in the back end for St. Louis picks it off.
Here comes pressure. Gabbert gets hit, turns and throws and overshoots his man, and it's picked off. And the safety's got it in the middle of the field at the 30 with room to run. Coming across the 40, coming across the 50, getting a block, and this could be a pick six. All the way back to the 20, to the 10, 5, touchdown. First play after Luke Jokel goes out.
7-7 at that point. Jags get the ball back. Scobie would end the next drive with a 48-yarder to make it 10-7 Jags.
Scobie lines it up. Anger calls for the snap, puts it down, and Scobie delivers, and it's end over end over end over end, and he got it. And so the Jaguars answer that disastrous pick six by Blaine Gabbert with 3 points, and we'll kick off leading 10-7.
10-7 at that point. Ensuing drive for St. Louis. They're back on the board. Zierlein with a 32-yarder, 10-10.
On the opening drive of the second quarter, the snap, the place, put the kick up on the way, plenty of distance, and he rips it right through the pipes, and we're tied at 10.
10-10 at that point. On the next possession, the Jaguars get a completion to Harbor, but he fumbles it away. Ensuing drive for St. Louis. Well, Sam Bradford this time caps off a drive with a 16-yard touchdown pass to the Rams' leading receiver.
Two tights, both in motion, play action. Bradford rolling out right, turns and fires. He's got a man at the 10, and this one's going to be a touchdown for Jared Cook.
17-10 St. Louis. It was another touchdown before the end of the half for the Rams. This time he finds Pettis 4 yards with under a minute to play in the first half and made it a 2-touchdown lead.
Third goal from just inside the 5-yard line. 31 seconds to play in the half, and Bradford takes the snap, steps up into the pocket. Under pressure, turns and throws. He's got a receiver.
Too
touchdown.
Easy.
That one to Austin Pettis, and it's 23-10.
Extra point made it 24-10 at halftime. Jaguars started out the second half pretty strong, three and out, but it ended on this deflected punt by Chris Przinski.
He'll kick from around the 20-yard line. Jaguars coming right the gut. They block it. It's blocked. They blocked another one, and this one is going to go down. Looks like the Jaguars, it's still on the field, and the Jaguars cover it up at about the 24-yard line.
The Jags would get it at point-blank range, but unable to finish. They actually kicked a field goal, and offside on that field goal gave them fourth and short. So Gus Bradley decided to take the points off the board and go for it. There was a double pass interference in the end zone that replayed fourth down. And then this happened on the second fourth down inside the five going in.
There's the snap, and Gabbert's back to throw. All kinds of time, shuffles, turns, and throws, and it's intercepted in the end zone. Well, that didn't end well.
No, it didn't. 24-10 at that point. Scobie would kick a field goal later, make it 24-13. Zuerlein hit one, 27-13, St. Louis. The Jags were still in this ball game with early in the fourth quarter. Gabbert left the game with a hamstring injury. Henny came in, finished off a drive with under 11 minutes to go in the game. Henny to Shorts, a four-yard touchdown, made it tight again.
Play clock shows three as Henny sets, takes the snap, drops to throw, plants, turns, and throws, and this one is caught! Cecil Shorts, touchdown Jacksonville!
27-20, the Jags ended in the fourth quarter. Best performance of the year for the Jags offense. The ensuing drive, though, for St. Louis. A 12-play, 80-yard drive capped off by another Bradford to Pettis touchdown to seal it.
Two backs, two receivers, and Bradford's under center. Drops to throw. No pressure whatsoever. Launches this one. He's looking for Pettis, and this one is caught. Touchdown. Austin Pettis, his second of the ball game.
34-20 after the extra point. That would be all the Rams would need today. 34-20, the final score at the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis. That was the Metro PCS Sexton Summary with no signed contracts. Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. Tough one today in St. Louis. Jags fall to 0-5, a 34-20 win for the St. Louis Rams over the Jaguars. We'll break down today's game a little more right after this on the Jaguars Radio Network.
You know what's good on game day? Barbecue. Well, barbecue's good on any day, but it's extra good on game day, especially when it's Sonny's Barbecue, like Sonny's dry rubbed wings, hearty chicken wings, hand seasoned with Sonny's signature spices, the perfect finger food for hungry football fans, or Sonny's tailgate feast for four with smoked pork, beef brisket, barbecue chicken, and ribs, plus sidekicks, bread, and drinks. So whether you're tailgating at the stadium or cheering from your couch, Sonny's is your game day go-to for slow-smoked barbecue. Sonny's Barbecue, local pitmasters since 68.
And he hits Davis 40 yards downfield. Touchdown!
What a huge grab. Let's see that again in slow motion.
Going up, feet are inbounds, and he's pulling out his phone to get a free rate quote from Geico?
So he could save hundreds of dollars on his car insurance.
While he pulls down the ball with the other hand. Phenomenal!
That was one for the highlight reel, folks.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The Jaguars use an experienced team of scouts to find the best players. At EverBank, you can also have a dedicated team working just as hard for you when it's time to look for a mortgage. Whether it's fixed or adjustable rate, FHA, VA, or jumbo, we'll put our local team of experts on the clock to quickly and efficiently handle every part of your loan so you get a solution that fits your financial situation. Connect with EverBank and their team of experts locally or online at everbank.com/lendingteam. The official bank of the Jacksonville Jaguars. EverBank is an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
30,000 jobs, a $2.9 billion annual economic impact on the Northeast Florida region. At the Jacksonville Aviation Authority, they have turned their diversified four-airport system into an economic engine that serves the commercial, industrial, business, and recreational aviation needs of our community. That's going beyond daily. Learn more at flyjacksonville.com. That's flyjacksonville.com.
This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Geico. Putting a winning lineup together is tough. Getting a quote from Geico is not. Visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO or contact your local Geico office today. Welcome back to Jaguars postgame inside the HananiaAutos.com studio at EverBank Field in Jacksonville. J.P. Shadrick with you. Marco Coleman alongside. 34-20, the Rams over the Jags. And for the first time in franchise history, the Jaguars are 0-5. They had the lead a couple of times in this game early, unable to hang on later in this game today. If you've just joined us, Luke Jokel is out for the season, according to head coach Gus Bradley. He told Jeff Loggeman in the postgame locker room exclusive interview that Jokel is done for the year with a high ankle fracture to his right leg, so he's done. Hey, let's think positive now.
Got to stay positive. Man, it's a building process, so you got to accentuate the things that you're trying to build on to continue having a positive outlook for the future.
It's frustrating. 0-5 is frustrating, and that's, you know, 5 double-digit losses, but there were some good things that happened today. Okay?
There were, and, you know, and some standout players, you know, definitely. So
let's start an offense. Who's the offensive player of the game
today? Oh, definitely. You got to say Blackman. You know, he completely changed the complexity of the offense. Now, our defenses are going to have trouble. Do you double-team Blackman? Because he's a big play guy. 39-yard play, 67-yard play on the touchdown, comes up, makes the tough catch. You know, he's going to make it – it's going to be really challenging for any corner in the league, I'm going to say, to handle him one-on-one, because he is great in the physical aspect of taking the ball away on those battles. The battle balls is what I call them. He wins the battle balls all the time. So I would have to say offensively, Justin Blackman in his return.
Defensive side of the ball, you know, there were some bright spots there today, early playing well. Bradford was shaken up, or not shaken up, but didn't look as sharp early in this game, got things going a little later. But defensive player of the game, if you had to pick one.
Well, I'll say, you know, a major factor in Bradford's inability to get things done was that rush early on by, you know, really just one guy, and that's in Derek Marks. He had a real big influence in that first half of keeping it a real unstable situation for Bradford. He's getting good pressure right up the middle, had the sack, had the pass, and bringing some attitude. I think up front, one of the things that you see talent-wise, they're not the biggest and the baddest, but they're starting – he's, I think, going forward is going to be the person that's going to translate what type of attitude defensively they're going to have, and he shows that when in his play. He had a really good game today.
In the official book today, Marks with 4 tackles, 1 sack for a 9-yard loss, a tackle for loss, a quarterback hurry, 2 passes defensed, and a forced fumble. That's a pretty good line today.
He had a heck of a day. I mean, like I said, he is right now, as they're building his defense, I think he's going to be the cornerstone in the attitude and his playmaking. He makes plays pretty much every week.
Stats Crew today, by the way, gave Jonathan Cyprian 12 tackles in this game today.
I mean, that's a good thing, but almost
– don't want the safety to have a lot 12 of, tackles.
If he's got 12 tackles, then that means they got on – you know, the running back was able to get, you know, on that second level, a lot of passes completed. So, but at least you need a sure tackler at that position at the same time. And I think he's playing, getting better each and every week, I have to say.
Okay, Marco, a hidden gem from this game, maybe – beyond the box score here, what do you like?
You know what? I'm going to have to say Todman. You know, I think he goes a little unnoticed in his contribution, because it's not just offensively. You look at the big return that he had to set up, you know, put him in really good field position. So here it is, you know, offensively, he changes the pace, and it gives a little bit more speed, you know, the change up between him and Maurice Jones-Drew. And then when you bring him back on those returns, I think, you know, they found a kickoff returner now. You know, he's really consistent, has the speed to possibly take it all away. So I would have to say Todman and his contribution offensively and special teams-wise.
Todman today, 2 kickoff returns, 64 yards, average of 32, along a 37 today for the Jaguars. And on the ground, 3 carries for 16 yards. When we come back, we'll take a look through the stats today individually for the Jaguars. Pretty good day in certain spots, but a tough stat that really counts. 34-20, the Rams over the Jaguars. The Jags fall to 0-5. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Gates. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gates. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Final score in St. Louis. The Rams over the Jaguars, 34-20. The Rams are now 2-3 with a win today. The Jags fall to 0-5 for the first time in franchise history and drop another double-digit loss today. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman in the HananiaAutos.com studio. Marco, let's go through some of the stats for this game. We'll start with the final team stats today for the Jags. 16 first downs today, 11 through the air, 5 on the ground. Third down, 3-12. That won't work for much, but a good yardage day. 363 yards for this offense, and if you would have said that through the first 4 weeks compared to today, you know, that wouldn't have been a number anybody would have guessed today, but a great performance, at least in yardage.
They moved the ball. I mean, at times, other than the turnovers that killed them, they were able to move the ball. You figure the big plays were the thing that's been missing, and you insert Blackman, and all of a sudden you got these big plays, 67-yard play, 39-yard play, 28-yard play by Shorts, 21-yard play by Clay Harbor. These are the type of plays that you got to have in the NFL today in order to have a successful offense. You know, you're going to have those five, 6 yarders. But you got to hurry up and get the ball down the field. And the way to get it done is with those big plays, and that's something that we're able to do.
Three turnovers today for the Jags. Penalties, four penalties, 45 yards today. Some big ones early. Babin was flagged for a personal foul.
That was a poor
foul.
Call, terrible call.
Yeah, it didn't look like
it. Yeah, now, right now, his M.O. is he's the most penalized player in the NFL in this season. So the referees know, and now he's got a big old zero on his – I mean, X on his back to watch 58. But that was a bad – to his defense, that was not a good call. Definitely wasn't a good call.
Okay, let's get some of the individual stats. We'll start on the ground today. Best day of the season for Maurice Jones-Drew. 17 carries, 70 yards, an average of 4.1 per carry, a 20-yard burst at one point, and at times looked like the mojo of old today. But the best output of the year for
him. Burst, physicality. He was running with some intent. It looks like, I don't know if he got his legs under him, but it was a more of a confident running MJD. I tell you, if he could have got a little more help from that interior offensive line, I'm going to tell you, it was not a good day for the guard, specifically Wineri. Gave up way too much penetration versus the run, which was, really hurt MJD and his ability to really get more things going. Because with that quick penetration, it just completely tore up the whole rushing scheme. But MJD definitely looked like a different guy than we've seen in the past few weeks.
Other rushing stats today, Todman, 3 carries, 16 yards, 5.3 per carry. Gabbert scrambled 3 times for 6 yards, 4 set, 1 for 2, and Henny 1 for 2. Let's go receiving now. Of course, Justin Blackmon made his return, his first outing of the season after a 4-game suspension, and showed up right away and all day. 5 receptions, 136 yards, including a 67-yard touchdown. Boy, this is a weapon. We've mentioned it already. That he would make an impact, he certainly showed why today.
He came out with the right attitude. Yep. You look at the way he played, the physicality. That's my thing is physicality, and that's what's been missing. Like Shorts is a really good wide receiver, but he's not a physical wide receiver. Blackmon brings an attitude to the offense and energy. I mean, this guy goes out, you see him, talks a little bit out there. You love having him in the game, and his big play potential is crucial. But I'll say something that stands out is Harbor. Although he had the fumble, still some good catches. He had 39 yards on 3 catches, and the longest one was 21. I think his contribution, not having Mercedes out, still needing to get it to the tight end, he's done a pretty decent job of making the catches from time to time necessary, to help this offense as a tight end.
Cecil Shorts, the third today, 5, was actually targeted 10 times, the highest in the team, 5 receptions, 74 yards, and a touchdown. His long was 28. Harbor, as you said, 3 for 39. Mojo, 2 for 16. And Tofo'o, 1 for 5. Of note, no Denard Robinson today.
No Denard Robinson. Well, when you insert Blackmon and you see Todman returning kicks, hey, he hasn't proven or earned, I guess, the confidence of the coaches.
When the ball's on the ground, you can't stay in the game.
Exactly. And right now you see they're trying to get more positive plays going. No more taking those chances. He's going to have to earn his right in practice to get back on the field.
Passing today, Blaine Gabbert left the game with a hamstring strain, finished 9 of 19, 181 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, a rating of 59.2. He had that 67-yard touchdown pass to Blackmon early in this game. But he's out of the game again. We got another quarterback controversy.
I don't think it's a controversy because everyone knows the Jags will be looking for a quarterback when the season's over. These guys are just here to help us get through the time and put on some film, and hopefully they can get on another team next year or who's going to be the backup for next season, to be quite honest with you. The inconsistency. Blaine Gabbert shows some flashes of being a really good quarterback, and then he comes right back the next play and he's like wondering, what is going on? What are you thinking about? At the end of the first half, he had a 90% quarterback rating. When he left the game, it was at 59.2. Yep. And that's what it is. This inconsistency and poor decision-making on a consistent basis. You just can't say enough about his ability. He makes some really good throws. But where are you throwing the ball sometimes? Those are the things that are real puzzling about him. But then when Henny comes in, he does a good job. But he's limited, I think, in the skill set category. I think Gabbert is a better – has more skill, inconsistent, but they're both, I think, both inconsistent. Henny just not as good physically, I guess.
Henny finished 7 of 13, 89 yards, a touchdown, and a rating of 101.1, but that's a sneaky rating.
Yeah,
there.
I think it's a little deceiving. You had to watch this one to see how that one went down. But, like I said, it's obvious The Jaguars will be looking for a quarterback next season. It's hurting at that position. So, you know, it is what it is, I think, for the rest of 2013.
Let's look at the stats from today's game. The final score in St. Louis, 34-20. The Rams over the Jags. Jags fall to 0-5 for the first time in franchise history, and they'll visit Denver next week. We'll come back in a moment. Look around the National Football League on a busy day. Some really tight ball games today in the league. Get you caught up on all the scores, and the game's active right now, including next week's opponent. Denver in action right now in Dallas. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. Portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Geico. Geico has proudly supported the military for over 75 years. See how much Geico's military discounts could save you. Go to geico.com, call 1-800-MILITARY, or contact your local Geico agent today. Final score from the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis. The Rams over the Jaguars 34-20. Jags fall to 0-5. Let's look around the National Football League. Some really tight games early today in the league, and all those have gone final. We will start with the final scores from today. The Saints are now 5-0 with a big win in Chicago over the Bears, who've lost two straight now. 26-18, Saints a winner in Chicago. Big rainstorm today in Cincinnati. Not much offense for the Patriots. The touchdown streak for Tom Brady is over. They were held out of the end zone. The Bengals give the Patriots their first loss, 13-6. Cincinnati a winner over New England. The Patriots are now 4-1, Bengals 3-2. In Green Bay, the Packers get a win over the Lions, 22-9, the final score at Lambeau. In the AFC South, the Titans were at home today hosting the undefeated Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are still undefeated. They're now 5-0. They scored 13 fourth-quarter points in a 26-17 win over the Titans. Great game today in Indianapolis, and it's a big win for the Colts at home against the Seattle Seahawks. They scored 11 fourth-quarter points to get the victory over Seattle, 34-28. Indianapolis, a legitimate 4-1. The Seahawks get their first loss of the season. In Miami today, the Ravens score 20 points in the second half, and they come away with a 26-23 win over the Dolphins. Last-second field goal for Miami to try to tie the game ended short, and the Ravens hold on late for a win at Sun Life Stadium. The Giants are 0-5. They lost to the Eagles today, 36-21. Foles came in for an injured Michael Vick for the Eagles. Eli Manning had three picks in the game today, but he did throw two touchdowns, threw for 334 yards. Tom Coughlin fit to be tied. They're 0-5. They lost to the Eagles today. Other games in action right now. Halfway through the second quarter in Arizona, Cardinals-Panthers tied 3-3. In Dallas, the Cowboys lead the Broncos 14-7. That's late in the first quarter. And a game tonight, actually two games tonight, Texans at the 49ers. Both teams 2-2. That's the NBC game at 8:30 Eastern. Should be a really good one at Candlestick. And then a game moved because of the baseball playoff game last night. The Oakland A's were at home. They couldn't turn over O.co Stadium fast enough, so they had to move the start time back. It's 11:35 Eastern time kickoff tonight. Chargers and Raiders at the Coliseum in Oakland. That's a look around the National Football League. Again, the final score in St. Louis, Rams over the Jaguars, 34-20. We're back in just a moment. We'll close out Jaguars postgame, get some final thoughts from Marco Coleman before the Jags face the Broncos next week at Mile High. More Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. This portion of Jaguars postgame brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated. Final score in St. Louis. Rams over the Jags 34-20. Jaguars are 0-5 for the first time in franchise history. JP Shadrick with Marco Coleman. Final segment of Jaguars postgame. Marco, some positives, some negatives today, but in general, a better outing today than certainly the first 4 weeks for this team, though it is still a loss.
Yeah, you have to say that. You improved in some areas, specifically offensively. You added Justin Blackmon, and all of a sudden you started getting some big plays. They came into the game only averaging 3.6 per play. In this game, they had 6.2 yards per play. That puts them pretty much right close to where Denver is going when in the big play potential yards per game. So when you think about that, that is a positive. It's some areas definitely they got to get better at. As a young team, the fifth youngest team in the league, the turnovers kill them. You can't have the turnovers, and those are some things that are controllable. So, you know, limit those and give themselves a better chance. I think you're just going to continue to see the inconsistency at quarterback until 2014, to be honest with you. But defensively, if they can do some more things versus the run, get better and more stout, I think that'll help. And get turnovers on defense. I think this may be the first game that they didn't get a turnover on defense. I mean, they've been pretty good in that area, just been giving the ball away too much offensively. So, you know, it's great to see Cedric Marks really start to step up in this type of game and play and pretty much, you know, dictate an attitude that, you know, that the defense should have. And you can see right now that the team is starting to form, I guess, Gus Bradley's type of attitude. I mean, today they played a lot more energy. If you watch the defense getting to the ball, they were swarming, had a lot of guys at the ball. They just got to stop the run at the point of attack. Sure. So I think the team, there's a lot of positives to take out of this deal, considering, you know, the process that's being taken place and as a team rebuilding, you know. So unfortunate, though, for Jokel, you know, real unfortunate, because that would have been really good to watch him over the course of the season, especially coming up, you know. You figure next week in Denver, some really good rushers. Then San Diego's got some good rushers. And then again in San Francisco, to see him against some of the top pass rushers in this league. But, you know, we're going to have to watch that going forward also. That's right. With the guys that are backing up.
Yeah, that's right. Cam Bradfield was there today, and Pastor on the right side. That'll be one of the big storylines this week. How does that shore up? Also, the injury to Blaine Gabbert. He had the hamstring injury, came out early today. Who'll be the quarterback next week? And this is not a week where you want to have this many question marks when you're going to Denver.
Well, you know, with a backup quarterback and backup left tackle all of a sudden, you might want to start getting Denard Robinson some snaps at that quarterback position.
Easy now. Easy now.
But, hey, you start running your read option more often. It may not be as much of a passing deal, but at least you got another option with him being back there. So, you know, those are some things to definitely look at as it pertains to, you know, going forward, how they handle being able to block that blind side of the quarterback going forward.
Marco, great stuff today, as always.
Oh, man. Always good to be with you, JP.
We'll see you next week before the Denver Broncos and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Next week, it's a 4:05 kickoff. Broncos and Jags at Sports Authority Field at Mile High in Denver. We'll go on air at 3 o'clock on the network with Jaguars pregame. Senior VP of Communications for the Jags, Dan Edwards. Executive producer of Jags Radio, Mike Dorwart. Manager of Jags Radio, Joe Fortunato. Producers, Tim B., Linda Fortunato, and Ed Rocco. Anchor of Jaguars pregame, Jeremy Ratliff. Jay Gray is Jaguars pregame reporter. And for Marco Coleman, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Buscelli, and Brian Sexton, this is J.P. Shadrick saying goodnight. Once again, the final score from St. Louis, Rams over the Jaguars, 34-20 on the Jaguars Radio Network.